This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we are joined by a special guest. We're joined by model and actress Chanel Ryan. Chanel, how's it going?
Hey, I'm pretty great. How are you?
Hey, doing well. I can't complain. It's a nice evening here in Memphis.
It's funny. Your southern accent is actually coming out as you speak, and I couldn't really notice it when we were talking before.
Oh, wow.
You're getting a little bit of a twang.
Yes, I am. It slips out every now and then, and I don't realize it, but I guess after 4 years of living here, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, southern accents are nice. It's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. I know, like, a lot of people, I guess they stereotype when you have a southern accent. They automatically assume that you're, uneducated or, backwards.
They just assume that you're just a silly old country bumpkin.
Yes.
Country bumpkin from Tennessee. Yeah.
And so it's always, I guess, refreshing to hear people say that, the dialect or the accent is nice and that,
Oh, I love a southern accent. It's really nice.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I agree.
So you've been an actress for quite some time, and I know that you've played, many roles. What got you into acting? What was it that kind of, was like the catalyst into your career?
It's funny. I wanted to act because I thought it would be really easy.
Wow.
Yeah, I just thought, it's going to be easy and fun. And don't get me wrong, it is really fun, but there's nothing easy about it. When you're self-employed, there really aren't enough hours in the day. What got me into it? You mean what interests me initially, or how did I actually start working?
Yeah, I guess, how did you start working? I mean, what was it that really kind of got you into it? Were you reluctant at first? Did you kind of fall into it? Was it on a dare?
I wasn't reluctant. I always wanted to be an actress. And, I don't have any friends or family in the industry. I didn't know anyone. And I really had no clue how to even get started. And then, one day I was at the beach and someone approached me to test for their swimwear campaign. And I got the campaign. It was really a series of events. And then around the same time, I was at the park with a girlfriend, and they were casting for like a commercial and print campaign that was shooting down there. And they asked us to audition, and we did. And we actually both booked that. And then around the same time as well, one of my girlfriends, her older sister was doing wardrobe in a movie, and the director happened to come to dinner. And we grew up on the beach, so we were always running around in our swimsuits. So, we come in for dinner, and I'm sure we were like in our swimsuits with shorts and sitting around the table, and the director basically said, "You girls want to be in a movie?" And we were like, "Yes!" So my very first film, I was basically, I had a rubber ducky around my waist with little goggles on my head. I was a waitress and flippers on in like some beach cafe, very campy. And that was sort of my first thing. And it's funny, acting was always my main focus, but I really started working a lot as a model, doing print work. And, it's hard to turn down a paying job in hopes that you're going to get an audition. And not even the job, but just the audition from which maybe you'll get a call back and then maybe you'll go on to book the job. So what happened to me initially was I really started to work a lot as a model. And then what came along with that is I was out of the country all the time, which was amazing, but not really conducive when you want to be an actress. So what started happening was I would get an audition, And then I would book a modeling job, and I would, say, be working in the Philippines or Taiwan or Australia or Costa Rica, Mexico, wherever it was. And then all of a sudden I would get a call for the callback, and I wouldn't be here. So a couple, I guess it's been about 3 years now, I sort of made the decision that I needed to really figure out what I wanted to do and focus on it. And if I say I'm going to be an actress and that's what I truly want to do, I need to be in town. So I sort of switched my focus from modeling to acting, which, I mean, come on, you can only model for so long anyway. And really started focusing on acting. And I started booking smaller roles in films and larger roles and then lead roles. And that's kind of what happened.
Wow, okay.
Does that make sense?
I guess, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's quite the journey.
And a bunch of the first, like, you know, the funny thing is today I was meeting with my editor and we were putting together a sort of press highlights reel, like redoing my reel for acting. It'll be ready next week. But as we were doing it, I realized, wow, like the first probably 4 or 5 acting jobs I did were just huge. I worked with on a John Frankenheimer movie. I did the lead in, it was like a family, like a Disney style family film. I was one of the leads in that. I worked with John Frankenheimer on a film with Gary Sinise and Mir Winningham. I was on the Felon Cheerleaders on Basketball. I did, do you remember Andy Williams? I know like my grandparents knew who he was. He was like a crooner, like old school, I think like 50s. And I co-hosted like a special for the BBC with him. Like the first few jobs I did were just huge. And I just was unfortunately, it wasn't even that I was unfocused. It's, you know, when you're trying to earn a living, you go where the money is. So I would book a modeling job and I would leave the country. And then I finally circled back around and now here I am.
Wow. Okay. That's funny. So I know that you started in modeling. Do you like one more than the other?
You know, modeling is so much easier in the sense that all you have to do is show up. That's not true. It's not easy, but modeling, you show up and you look good and, you know, you do your best in front of the camera. Whereas acting, you show up, you look good, only you have, you know, a ton of dialogue that you've memorized, a character that you've created. So it's so much more. So I like them both, but I feel like, you know, to me, modeling, I did it for so many years. I mean, I've been fortunate. I worked all over the world. I've done billboards and commercials and campaigns and, I mean, on and on and on. And it was really good to me, but I was starting to get a little, it wasn't challenging me enough. That makes any sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean,
And that being said, I still model occasionally if people contact me or something comes to me. And it's always fun to do it. But, you know, I think what a lot of people who aren't in the industry don't realize is how much work goes into booking a modeling job or booking an acting job. So each of them in itself, at least for me, were full-time jobs. So it's, you know, trying to juggle everything and actually have a life is a challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sorry, you know, I had a bunch of sake at dinner, so if I'm diverging and not making any sense, you have to forgive me.
No, I mean, you're making
it's Friday sense. Night, you know?
Absolutely. No, you're making perfect sense. I know, you know, like you said, it's, you know, you get into these professions and, you know, and it's just like, you know, sometimes you just feel like, you know, like you've kind of outgrown it or, you know, sometimes like you
said,
you feel.
A couple of things. I mean, within the whole profession of modeling, you can keep moving to different categories. So in theory, I could probably model till the end of time. Maybe, you know, I would start, I couldn't even say, maybe I would start working less as I got older, maybe not. But the reality of it is it has a shelf life. And if I didn't want to be living in a box in a couple years, I recognized that I needed to sort of make a change and refocus my energies and, you know, figure out where I wanted to go with my career and my life. And, you know, it's a scary thing, too, to go from – I was very successful modeling. So to go from that level of success and all of a sudden sort of walk away from it and decide, okay, I'm going to focus on acting now. I remember when I first switched, I had committed to doing these indie films. And when I first started, I was not. Now I do well as an actress, but when I first started, I was not. And, you know, I would go and do small parts, and the money wasn't good. And in the meantime, I'm committed to these small projects. And then I would book – I remember I booked a job in Ireland, one in Thailand and one in the Caribbean, and I had to turn them all down. And I was like, are you kidding me? But I'm like, okay, you know, you say this is what you want to do, then, you know, you better step up to the plate. And as far as, you know, acting. So, yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, now I know that, yeah, you started out doing indie film. Of course, like, there's not much money in indie film, but what would you say is that, I guess, one thing that you liked most about doing indie film?
You know, I'll say this with indie film. When I first started out, I wasn't, you know, I would be going in at very low rates, not making a lot of money. Now I do well in the indie scene, but it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it took me a few years to kind of get to that place. I mean, there's a lot of great things about indie film. I get opportunities, you know, in studio pictures. I wish I was going in and doing lead roles and, you know, maybe someday. But the reality of it is in the indie world, I can go in and do lead roles. I get really challenging characters thrown at me. I just get a lot of really great opportunities. I've been fortunate to work with so many people who are, you know, more successful and more talented than myself. I just meet so many really great creative people. I've made a lot of wonderful friends. And every set that you work on, usually anyway, is really fun. And you become like a family. It's a great experience. So I have so many wonderful memories that I'll always cherish from the indie world.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've made quite the name for yourself in Hollywood as like a screen queen. I know you've done a lot of horror films, and I was going to ask you, is horror a genre that you just naturally gravitate towards and that you like the most out of what you do? Because I know you've also done drama and comedy. What would you say, I guess, draws you to horror and, like, the aspect of it?
You know, it's so funny. When people call me a scream queen, I feel kind of fraudulent because I know girls who I consider to be legitimate scream queens, like Tiffany Shepis, Felissa Rose, who are like legitimate scream, and Twink, like all these girls who really work all the time and they've been doing it for years. So I feel like it's disrespectful to them when people call me that, and I don't know if that's just me. As far as the horror genre, my first love is actually comedy, and I kind of go back and forth between comedy and horror. But in the horror world, there's just – the horror fans are the best, and there's such a thirst for horror. So I guess the films, you can make them quickly. You can make them inexpensively, so it seems to be – at least for me, there's so many of them being shot, so you have so much more opportunity to work in that genre. And truthfully, horror films are probably the most fun to make. You're in these crazy circumstances. Like, you see this crazy stuff going on, and usually we're laughing and goofing off in between takes. It's just a, you know, they're just really fun to make. And I have opportunities to play really great roles in them. So I sort of go where if the project comes my way and I like the people, it's interesting. Some projects you do for the money. Some you do because you love the role. Some you do because you really love the people and want to work with them. So every project's really different. And I do love drama. I've actually been, on top of everything else I have going on, I've been studying. I really feel it's important to study, so I'm always in some type of acting class, but for the last, I mean, year two now, I've been studying Meisner with Alex Taylor, who is absolutely amazing. If there's any actors listening right now that are in Los Angeles, you need to check out Alex Taylor. I wish I would have found him years ago. Amazing. But so year one was like an intensive, and you go through it in, is it 3 or 4 months? And you go 4 days a week, and you practice with your partner like 3 hours every day. Like, it's serious. And now year two is, now I'm down to 2 days a week. I don't even know how I got off on this tangent. What were you even asking me? But the thing I've discovered is, since I've been going to class, is I really love drama, and I didn't know that I did before. I mean, traditionally how it is as an actor, you know, I get a certain amount of scripts sent to me and just direct offers, and then probably it's, you know, a certain amount of that, and then there's a certain amount of things that you audition for. And the things that you audition for, I don't want to say you don't have any control over, because you can choose the projects you want to go after, but, you know, I sort of, you know, I'm asked to audition for a drama one day, I do it, a comedy the next day, I do it. And, yeah, the more drama that I'm booking, the more I'm realizing I really like it, and it's really fun. And I've sort of discovered that through this acting class with Alex Taylor. So thank you, Alex.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I wanted to ask you, what do you like more? Do you like the process of auditioning? Because I know auditioning is like an integral part of, you know, the...
Oh, I like the process of auditioning. No, I don't know. Maybe there's some actors that do. It's nerve-wracking. It's, you know, it's an interesting thing, because for those of you that aren't aware, so how it works is you audition, and then from the audition, maybe you'll have a callback, and then from the callback, maybe you'll have another callback with the producers, and maybe you'll have a direct. It just goes on and on and on. I've been up for things where I have 5 auditions, then they fly me out to the East Coast, or they fly me to Atlanta, and, you know, I have chemistry reads, and it's between me and one other person, and it goes to a name. And I can't tell you how many times that I've been up for roles on so many, like reoccurring or series regulars on so many TV shows, or parts in big studio films, like strong supporting roles. And you get through all that process, and then it goes to a bigger, either a bigger name than you, or budget-wise, they can't afford you, so they hire someone local. Like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And I guess if I want to be positive about it, I'm thankful that I'm getting that far, and I'm getting, you know, at least I'm getting the callbacks, and I'm getting the director's meetings and all that kind of stuff. But it's, the audition practice is, I try to have a good attitude about it, and but it's a lot, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I bet.
And of course, I know I'm ultra candid with you right now too, because, like I said, I'm 4 bottles of sake in, so I'm just going to tell you how it is.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I mean, that's one thing that people have said that they really enjoy about this radio program and podcast, is that, you know, it feels like they're listening to two old friends talk and catch up. So that's
oh,
okay.
Cool.
But tell me. How do you prepare, I guess, for a role that you've been selected for? Is there like a certain ritual that you have that you do, or is there anything that kind of helps you to get into the mindset of the character you're playing?
I mean, it depends on the role. I think for me, the biggest thing is to get your dialogue memorized so it's completely embedded. And then once you do that, that's when kind of the real work starts. When you have your dialogue so memorized that you don't have to worry about it anymore, then you're free to actually, you know, be the character and play and have fun. So, I mean, it depends on the role. If I have an accent, I, you know, you want to work with the accent until, once again, that's second nature. If it's, it really just depends what it is, the type of research you do. But yeah, I'm big on research, and the more that I work, the more I realize the importance of prep. And one of my biggest sort of, I guess it's regrets, and I don't know the other, I don't know the exact word to describe it. I oftentimes go right from project to project, like literally be on a red eye from one project, flying in the next morning and, you know, going to set. So I often don't have as much prep time as I want. And I feel like a lot of times I go into a project at 50% of where I should be, just because it's a lack of time. And that's partially a symptom of being fortunate to work a lot and partially a symptom of that's sort of how things are in the indie world. I think when, you know, you're kind of jumping from project to project, whereas in the studio world, you get a little bit more time to prep, which is amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of prep time and just, you know, dealing with, you know, smaller sets and stuff, do you, because I don't know that you've done any work in theater, but I was going to
ask. Not much.
Not much. What do you prefer? Because I know a lot of actors, they have, like, different preferences on what they do. Like, some like theater, some like television, some like film. I guess out of the three, what do you enjoy the most?
You know, I've done a couple theater performances when I was younger, and maybe at some point in my career, not maybe, I would definitely at some point in my career like to explore that further. Right now, it's not for me. I love film, but at the same time, there's so much within the last few years, television has come so far, and there's so many just really good quality television shows that TV is becoming more and more appealing. And that's relevant. I mean, you can tell just by all the, you know, the big name actors who are appearing on TV shows now.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's something great to be said about TV as well. It, especially if you're a series regular, you are doing the same thing day in and day out. It's not like you're on a film this week and you're creating this character and doing all this work, and then next week you've got to create a whole different character because you're on this film, or next month. So it's something nice about, and I don't know what it's like, but I sure would like to, about creating a character, doing the work, and then, you know, showing up and getting to continually explore that on a regular basis. That must be nice.
Absolutely. I would imagine so. And I guess, you know, it's probably the closest thing to, like, a steady job.
Exactly, where you have your hours. They're not guaranteed, but it's, you know, I mean, like, maybe you're working, you're on, you know, days this week. So, you know, you've got a 6 a.m. call time or 5 a.m. call time, and you're wrapping at, you know, 6 or 7 every night. And then, you know, I mean, it's kind of nice to be on a schedule where you can basically have dinner with your family every night or your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, I've always heard that about, like, you know, like soap stars, you know, people that are, you know, that are in soap operas and stuff. Like, I've always heard that, you know, that's considered close, you know, the closest thing to a steady job than, you know.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, I think to a lot, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think at a certain point in your life, especially when you want to start a family, you see a lot of actors who are eager to be on a TV show because they can, you know, go home to their, if they have kids, they can go home to their kids every night or to their, you know, husbands or wives and have more of a steady type of a schedule and a normal life. Because I know I'm out of town more than I'm in town. I always joke that I'm on the plane more than I'm in the car. Like, I'm traveling constantly, and it just seems like everything films out of town. And it's both the best and the worst thing about my job, I think. It's amazing to travel. I get to constantly explore, you know, different cities and countries. But at the same time, it's also, it can be a little sad and lonely at times as well.
Yeah.
Poor me, I know. there's numerous times when I've either missed, like, whatever holiday or birthday it will be, and I remember there's been a couple times when one time in particular I was working in Australia and I was supposed to be home in time for Christmas, and my flight got delayed, and I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas at the airport. So that type of thing also happens, you know. And it's just, it's a byproduct of the job. And there's so many, I think, great aspects that go along with it that it's just, you know, you just deal with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say is like the biggest misconception about working in the industry? I know a lot of people they have different ideas about just I guess being an actor or an actress, and they don't really understand I guess what goes into the work that you do. And
I think the biggest misconception, maybe that it's going to be easy. And I think a lot of people don't realize, and there are exceptions to this rule, and maybe for some people it's really easy and they're overnight successes. But for a lot of these people, you consider, you see them and you think they're an overnight success, and they've been at it for... I really am always inspired. The Actors Union, it's called SAG-AFTRA, and they put on these different, all sorts of screening series of films and TV shows, and a lot of them they'll have Q&As with the actors after. And I went to one recently with Ricky Holm and Natasha, I know I'm going to butcher her name, Legome, is that how you say it? And they have a TV series on Comedy Central, and the name is escaping right now. It's a comedy. But it was really inspiring to hear them talk, because one of the things she was saying was, she was – first of all, they pitched their show. It took them like 3 years to get it off the ground, and they were told no. And then they took everyone's notes and sort of went back and repitched it and got themselves a deal. But she said, you know, and she's an actress, Ricky, who I love her. She's one of my favorite comedic actresses. And she's someone who you recognize her face, but you, now I think she's becoming more of a household name, but you might not know her name. And she's someone who also works a lot. And she said what was happening with her was she wasn't necessarily working as much as she wanted to. So she started creating her own opportunities. I don't know how I got on that tangent either.
So I
think one of the biggest misconceptions is, I think a lot of people think they're just going to show up in L.A. and because you're the prettiest girl in your small town, it's going to be easy. And what a lot of people don't understand is that it's actually a job, and it's work. And I know how I got on that tangent because Ricky was saying in the Q&A she did that, you know, she'd been working for 20 years, basically. And now she's starting to kind of have the level of success that she always wanted. So I think a lot of times people think someone's an overnight success when they've been at it for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I feel like with Hollywood, it's sort of a marathon, not a sprint, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes
sense. And I think those with the staying power are the ones that continue to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you do, like, if you weren't an actress and if you had never gotten into modeling? Or, what profession do you?
I love animals. I would actually. I was going to art school, and I started working so much, you know, modeling and acting that I dropped out. But I would probably be an artist, and I do. I want to open, we're in the middle of, in the process right now of getting a nonprofit up for animals. I'm the person who is driving down the road and sees the dog on the side of the road and, you know, stops and we're late for wherever we're going. Now my house is basically a revolving door for animals that I rescue and find homes for. So I wish I would have gone to veterinary school, but I definitely, my goal is to move to the country and I want to have a bunch of animals. So I would definitely be doing something to help animals. And I still intend to on a bigger level than I already do. But that's something I love and would make me happy to do every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Looking back over the course of your career and you know, the things that you've, you know, acted in and have been a part of, is there any, I guess, one performance or or project that you are attached to that you really, really just love and that you hold dear to your heart that I guess has really changed your life?
I don't feel like I really had that role yet. Although, you know what character I love the most? Bad Kids Go to Hell. Miss Gleason. She's really, I really love playing, you know, sort of these over-the-top comedic characters, and she's, you know, a little bit uptight and overzealous and, you know, full of school spirit in a school where there is no spirit. So I did love that character, and, you know, originally my part was larger, and they were just behind schedule, and my scenes just kept getting cut, which was unfortunate. And then I was supposed to do part two, and we had some schedule conflicts, so that did not happen. But that's one of my favorite roles, definitely.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, and that's one of your most, I would say, notable roles. So it's actually, you know, that because most people, they know you from that role. I mean, amongst the other stuff you've done, and so. I can see that. That's a really good.
It's, you know, it's funny. We were supposed to open the scene in the gymnasium. You know, I took gymnastics for years, and I was going to come in, like, you know, doing a series of cartwheels into, like, a round off, and then bam. And then, so I just had all these really fun things to do for the character. And we had some other fun scenes as well, but. Like I said, it, when you're on indie films, it's challenging. They were just running behind schedule, and things just kept getting cut, and they have to, you know, you have to downscale. You just have to keep sort of plan B-ing it to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Has there ever been, I guess, a film or a project that you've been attached to and just, I guess, the production work for it, you know, in terms of, like, whether it be, you know, action or special effects or whatever, have just been so, I guess, overwhelming that you've just, you know, like, you wish, like, you'd never, I guess, signed up for it?
You're asking, are there any projects I wish that I hadn't done?
Yeah, what was, like, your hardest role that you've ever played in? And I guess, like, why was it hard? And, like, in the midst of it, were there times where you thought, like, man, I wish I hadn't taken this role? Like,
yeah, you know, there is a film like that, and I'm not going to say what it is. I won't say what it is. I'll say it's very challenging. I'm the lead in it. It was extremely challenging, and I'm not responsible. It's not that I'm not responsible. You know, parts of it I'm just terrible, and it's really not my fault. It was one of those things where the script was very, and I say all this, and at the same time I'm thankful to be working, and I would probably do it again, but the script was very overwritten. We would have like a 6.5-page scene, and it was just like one giant run-on monologue for me, and the other character would maybe say like 3 lines during it, and so, you know, the director would sort of be like, what he thought we could film in a day was very unrealistic, but I would basically show up on set, you know, preparing what I was told we were going to do, and then we would start filming, and we would be shooting something completely different, and I would be like, what? it's challenging when the, you know, your director is sort of guiding you, and when you're not necessarily even asked, but really almost forced to do things that you're not acting-wise that you don't agree with, and yeah, that was I don't like to dwell on negative things, and I don't like to kind of shit talk, if that makes any sense. So there has been a film that was very challenging, and I try to just look at it as a learning experience to go, okay, next time I just need to be more prepared. Things like that encourage me to continue to study and just get better at my craft so that if circumstances like that ever arise again, I can handle it better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally understand. And I just want to apologize. I hope I didn't put you in a
Oh, no, no, it's okay. I feel like everyone tries their best. People aren't trying to make a bad film. They're not trying to, or maybe they are. For the most part, I don't think they're trying to traumatize their actors. So, you know, I feel like to get a film made at all is such a huge undertaking. I have major respect for everyone that does it. So the last thing I want to do is, like, badmouth anyone.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I totally understand. What is it that inspires you? Because I know that you just touched on how you always, you know, do your best when given a role. What are some things that just inspire you, like, in your everyday life and as well as, you know, these roles that you take on?
You know, I'm always inspired by watching actors who I really, really admire. Like, Eva Green is just phenomenal. Jennifer Jason Leigh's phenomenal, like, as far as drama goes. Comedy, Leslie Mann is just, she's always amazing. Ricky Holm, that type of thing. I always, if I'm ever feeling a little unmotivated, you know, the SAG-AFTRA Foundation, they always have these screenings. And every time I go to them, some, you know, you're busy, you don't want to, our lives are also busy, but I'll be like, okay, you need to just make time and go. And then I always leave there just with a renewed sense of inspiration and excited to kind of move forward with my career again. I love hearing the other actors talk just about their process, about some of the struggles they've gone through, about some of the things that, you know, they worry about, and just making me realize, wow, no matter, even when you're on the very top echelon, you still have the same fears and concerns. So things like that definitely motivate me and inspire me. And I'm also, truthfully, I'm inspired by moving to the country and being able to just kind of check out and live off the grid. So those things inspire me, being able to have enough money to just do as I like.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's funny you said that because, like, I totally don't picture you as, like, a like an outdoorsy, like, country type person.
Oh, I love the country. Oh, my grandparents, when I was growing up, I so wish we had the house still. We lived in this amazing house out in the country. There was a pond on the property and a stream and a forest. It was just amazing. Yeah, I very much want to move back to the country.
Very nice.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to shop. I love to go to nice restaurants. But I feel like with my job, I can have the best of both worlds. I can live in an amazing place in the country, be close to nature. But I still am fortunate to be able to leave and go to work. And then I get to enjoy, you know, the city life and, you know, that type of scenario.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, I know that you have a lot going on and there's, you know, probably a lot that you can't really tell us about, but are there currently any projects that you're working on that you can tell us about?
What can I tell you? I'm signed on to do lead roles in a few films coming up. One of them is in the horror genre, and I'm also in development on a slate of films, which I'm really excited about. My partner and I, we've been really searching for the first film, we want to do an elevated horror, and we really have been searching for the perfect script, and we were actually hoping to be filming by March, but it's hard because we have just very specific criteria for what we want. And we really want to do a very elevated horror. We don't want to do, you know, we really want to do an elevated horror. We want to get a great cast. We want to do something that is sort of, you know, very clever and original. So that's the thing I guess I'm most excited about. So with my life right now, all my focus has been on that. So that being said, I've been really going to class and just working on becoming the best actress I can be so that when we do nail down the script, and I'll be both the producer, you know, one of the producers and the lead actress on it, I'm really ready to go. So that's sort of been the focus of the last 6 months or so of my life. Everything else has kind of taken a back burner, and I've been, you know, working here and there if someone approaches me, but I really haven't been seeking things out that much because my focus has been on our developing our films.
Absolutely. Chanel, where can our listening audience find out more about you and kind of keep abreast of what you're doing?
You know, the best place to find everything is my website, which is ChanelRyan.com. And if you don't know how to spell my name, shame on you. It's ChanelRyan.com. And if you scroll down, I believe it's on the bottom of every page of my site, and I should really know that. But it links to all my social media. So I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel. My IMDb, obviously, you can, you know, check out all my films. There's links to it there. And then my new favorite thing, I love Instagram. I love looking at everyone's photos. I love posting them. So anyone listening, if you follow me on social media, let me know that you heard it here, and I will, if I don't follow you back, it's because I didn't see it, because I do try to follow everyone back. So, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Well, Chanel, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And
thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's been such a great interview, and just learning more about you has been, like, it's been so insightful to hear.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, your journey through everything, and I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to just open the floor back up to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
You know, there is. I like to end every interview. As you know, I'm a really avid and passionate animal activist. I always joke that I love animals more than people. I really like to encourage everyone, if you have a pet, please spay or neuter it. People don't understand the importance. Like, the homeless animal population is just out of control, and especially males, they think they're somehow doing their pets a disservice. When you fix your pet, it becomes less likely to run away, less aggressive, less likely to pee in your house or destroy things. They live a longer life, a healthier life. And then also, if you're looking to get a pet, please check out your local shelter or rescue organizations. There's so many wonderful animals that need homes. And I feel like there's this myth that if you get it from a shelter, it's not going to be as good. That's just bullshit. All my animals have been rescues, and they're amazing. And I actually find rescues to be better than a lot of purebreds for all sorts of reasons that I'm not going to go into right now. But so, yes, please, spay and neuter your animals. Be kind to each other. And that's all I got.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chanel.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Guys, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to our show by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app, available for free. Download the app, search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, and you'll hear this interview with Chanel. We're also available for Android users. Just search the Google Play Store, search under Music, and again, it's Redefining the Counterculture. Also, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku player, you can listen to us in the privacy of your own home. It's available just in the channel store. So if you've got a Roku player or smart TV, you can search for our show and listen to over 200-plus hours of original content and programs.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.